This is Melbourne calling. Welcome to Granny Bingo Wireless. You can't come in without a warrant. Toodle pip.
Hey, come over here, go over there. Don't be scared now, yeah. Lift up your head, hold out your hand, pull up your pants. Now why did you pull down your pants? We only just met, but that's why I like you. People connecting, grandma's laughing, nostalgia and ethnic dancing.
And that was A Young Girl by Gary Puckett and the Union Gap. Great old song. I used to sing that all the time down at the clubs, you know. It was really cool. It's about an older man who's got a sort of tempestuous desire for a girl who's underage.
As all songs did many years ago.
That's right. It was always about men going after girls. And I can tell you, at my age and how well my love life is going, I wouldn't mind if it happened again. And welcome back to Maureen's podcast with special guest Edith.
Nice to be here. Thanks for having me.
It is, of course, the Granny Bingo Wireless podcast. I'm being a bitch and we're back for our second week. Thank you to everyone for all of your love and support that you gave us from last week. It's nice to be back. What have you been up to, Edie?
Oh, I don't know. You mentioned the old days and the old songs that we used to listen to. And you're right. You know, a lot of the songs did used to be about older men chasing after younger women. And honestly, I miss that time.
Yeah.
You know, I don't know what the world's coming to, Maureen. I look at the news and I just think everyone's at war with each other, you know, and the environment's gone to shit and Troy Sivan is pretending to be a lady. One with loose morals as well, might I add, you know.
Oh, I saw it dressed up like Delta Goodrum, sinning in the face of the Lord Jesus Christ, our God.
Exactly. God can only help those who help themselves, and I don't see the younger generation today really helping themselves. Well, they are helping themselves a lot, actually. They help themselves to whatever they like, but they're not helping themselves spiritually.
I see.
And that's what this podcast is all about, spirituality and faith and religion.
Yeah.
Nah, just messing with you. I'm good, how are you, love?
I'm all right. I've been that bloody busy. I've been driving around town, you know, causing some trouble.
Oh, yes.
I'm a bit of a rat bag. I've been, what have I been doing? I'll be serious now. I went for a trip to go and see my cousin. She lives in Hay. I don't know if you know Hay.
No, it's, I'm not familiar with Hay.
Sort of just after the Murray River, you know, southern New South Wales. She moved there years ago. And I had to catch the train to see her. I could go as far as Albury, and then I had to catch a bus to Tokemwal, and then I had to catch from a taxi from Tokemwal to Hay. That cost me about $19,000.
Oh, lovely.
But how often do you get to see your cousin? You know, it's a christening and you know, maybe a birthday here and there.
Oh, yes.
Anyway, I walked into the bloody town. Hay, for those of you that haven't been before, is an old river town. It was it's a town that's still, it's not empty. It's by no means a ghost town. It's a little blustering little town. Well, I drove down the main street and, you know, Google this if the people that have Google. Edith, the town was covered in rainbow flags.
Oh, dear.
Every shop had rainbow flags except one of the pubs. They almost made it obvious that they didn't have the rainbow flags. Turns out they've got a bloody Mardi Gras there this weekend.
Oh, dear.
What's happening to the world?
I don't know, Maureen. You know, I don't mind if these people, which the kind of people I'm talking. We mentioned Troy Sivan earlier. The Troy Sivan kind of people. I don't mind what they do behind closed doors in their bedroom or, you know, public lavatories or hairdressing salons or
Taylor Swift concerts.
Yeah. Yes.
YouTube viewing parties of Victoria's Secret runways.
Yes.
Completely gacked on a boat on Sydney Harbour.
Picking up their ASOS deliveries from the post office. I don't mind what they're doing as long as it's behind closed doors, but when they come to a town like Hay, you know, that's when you know they've gone a little bit too far, I think.
I had to walk down the street. There was There was Les, and they were walking down the street. I said, "Hey," and they said, yeah. "That's where you are." I thought you can't, don't disempower my abuse to you. You know, don't take that away from me. That's all I've got left. I don't have a bloody cousin to visit anymore. She's probably
converted.
One of you lot. But anyway, so I did that. I've been on a bit of a diet. So it actually helped me because I couldn't eat for those 3 days that I spent getting from Melbourne to Hay.
Because they've cancelled the food service on the V-lines, haven't they?
They can't buy anything. And they didn't say that to me. I mean, the most they said was, "We suggest you buy some food before you get on the train." Well, what does that mean? Anyway, so I didn't eat for 3 days.
Right.
Which is good because I'm trying to lose some weight. I'm trying to get into my summer body.
Oh, yes.
I'm going to be real sexy this year.
Yeah, lovely. Is there any particular event you're trying to get fit for? Or?
Well, I'm thinking of doing a marathon.
A marathon, Maureen. That's inspirational. You get to a certain age, a lot of our friends have stopped trying to do new things and pushing their limits, and I've got to say it's an inspiration to hear that you're doing something like this. Where's the marathon happening, love?
It's at Crown Casino. You know that the sort of Western End food court, my favourite, that's got the Chinese restaurant in it. They're doing a thing. It's a marathon of eating prawn toasts. Because I love it. It's Charlie and his wife Jan who run that place. They're that nice. And they're doing as many sesame prawn toast. And I won it last year. So I'm coming back for the prawn toast marathon this year. So I thought I'd empty my guts out prior to that. You know, lose a bit of weight and spew everything up and such. And whoever wins and eats the most gets it for free. So there's an incentive there. You know, with cost of living the way it is, you know.
Yeah, right. Well, that's not quite the same as a marathon, but good on you nonetheless, love. What are your weight loss tips? How are you going to get your bikini body ready?
Ah, well, first of all, you should wrap your body in Glad Wrap.
Right.
Now, a lot of people will use Glad Wrap either to, you know, keep the food fresh or to put over the toilet seat so that when someone goes in there to do a piss, all the water goes everywhere because they think it's clear, but, you know. And so that's what Glad Wrap, just to help people know what I'm talking about. If you wrap your body, we learnt this in school, if you wrap your body in Glad Wrap, it actually changes the shape and forces all the fat out of your bum. You poo out your fat. So you just have to sort of wrap yourself into the shape that you want to be. Of course, that brings on a lot of sweating. You will sweat because your pores aren't open to the air at all. So you will sweat, completely dehydrate yourself. And the fat, as you reshape your body, it's sort of like, Edith, if you rolled a pork, rolled a roast pork.
Yes, I've done
and
that.
And you string it up. One of the old tricks is to wrap it in Glad Wrap, leave it in the fridge for a couple of nights to keep its shape when you do roast it. I'm basically just doing that.
Right, okay.
And the sort of force effect that's created when you force your fat into different positions and you poo it out and you completely dehydrate yourself, how are you not going to lose weight?
And is there any sort of dieting requirements for this weight loss journey that you're on?
Nah, I just sort of made it up as I went. Look, I didn't ask anyone. I could have gone down to Dr. O'Malley, I suppose, and spoke to him. But all these people are on, you know, sticking diabetes pens in their stomachs and all that sort of. No, not for me. Sorry. You know, I don't want to be, you know, diabetes or anything like that. No, I want to be normal. Yeah. I just want to have, you know, a nice bum for when the boys look at me on the beach.
Yeah, nice. Yeah, I do see a lot of these celebrities taking,
Aussie pitch.
Aussie Empic. And it's nice that they're supporting, you know, Australia, but I don't have this problem that you have. You have always been a fatter woman, haven't you? You've always been quite large. Men have often commented on your size. I remember as early as the Second World War, men would sort of say, do you have to walk sideways to get through doors? And
I had a bloke when he came back. I was standing on Flinders Street when they came back from the war. Sorry, I'm just eating one of my diet chocolates. I had a bloke. I was on Flinders Street, corner of Flinders and Elizabeth Street, I think it was. And I was standing there, you know, waving the flag. Good on you, our boys, you know. And he walked up to me. And he stood on the side of me, on my left-hand side, and he saluted me, and he tried to open me and climb inside. He thought I was a tank.
Right, yeah, yeah. Maureen, of course, a lot of listeners won't be aware of this. It's been classified information until very recently. Maureen served during the war as a decoy. You might have heard, kiddies, that in the United Kingdom, back in the old country, they had sort of fake papier-mâché cows that would be put out on airstrips so that when the Germans were flying over, they thought that it was a farm and they wouldn't bother dropping the bombs there. Well, they got Maureen and they put her just next to Sydney so that any aircraft passing over thought it was Uluru and didn't bother dropping the bombs there either.
Yeah. Now that you think about it, there's so many pivotal moments in World War II that I played a massive part in. It's sad that I'm not better recognised for that. But, you know, that's how God deals his cards in the casino of heaven, that you can't be a war hero and have a nice, you know, hourglass shape. That's just the way it goes, unfortunately. Oh, but that's, you know, that's me. You've always been as flat as a surfboard. You know, there's actually a phenomenon that they call the Edith effect, that if you stand perfectly at the right angle, you actually don't see her at all.
Yes, lots of people walk right past me. They don't even notice me. It's bizarre, very bizarre.
How do you do it?
Well, you know my theory, Maureen. I've always said an apple a day keeps the doctor away.
Ah, yes, good advice.
If you throw it hard enough at him. No. It's been very hard work for me. I diet religiously because I only do it on Sundays.
Hello. Have you been doing an improv course or something?
No, I just find weight loss really funny because it's not difficult for me at all. No. Oh, yeah, I am a bit, listeners, I am a bit of a healthier woman. In fact, last night what I did for dinner is I just had a salad. It was lovely. I just had a bit of lettuce. This is a recipe you can follow at home if you like, listeners. A bit of lettuce, some pickles, a bit of protein, and then two big croutons on either side.
Two big croutons? You ate a Big Mac.
Yeah, I know it was.
So you're telling me that you just stick whatever you want in your mouth?
Yeah, my theory is cows eat nothing but grass all day long. Look how fat they are. I just eat whatever I want, and the weight just falls straight off me. And that's because I've always taken pills for my body, my fitness, my diet. They're called Barbara's Beauty Barbiturates.
I remember them. They used to be in the back of the Women's Weekly.
They were. In the 1940s and the 1950s, you'd cut out a little coupon, you'd send off a little bit of money in the post, and you'd get back. Well, they got banned, of course, as many of these great medications did, and you couldn't get them. Well, when I heard that was happening, I cut out every magazine I could. I sent them all off, and I've got a wardrobe full of them. So just every day I just, you know, take one of my little Barbara's Beauty Barbiturates and I can eat whatever I like, you know.
No, Edith, don't laugh. But, you know, this is very serious for me. I feel I've got body, mental health, you know, and I'd like to know, because I've kept all my old women's weeklies, I might be able to send off for one of Barbara's barbiturates.
No, they're very illegal now, but I'll lend you a couple if you want, love, for this summer.
I'll try them. I'll try anything. I just want to be thin so people like me.
Oh, that's not going to happen.
No, it is upsetting for me because I've got this long-held dream.
Oh, yes.
Something that, since I was a little girl, I wish I was able to do. I wish I could bring myself to do it.
What's that?
It's to sunbathe nude.
Oh.
I feel bad saying that on God's day, but I want to feel comfortable to sunbathe nude outside at a beach. I want to go to a nude beach and let it all hang out and drag along the sand, you know. And so I do it at home, and for a very long time I would only sunbathe in private. I'd do it in my bedroom until I developed rickets and had a massive vitamin D deficiency.
Right,
I almost died.
Mm-hmm.
And so now I do it in the backyard of the nursing home. on a Saturday when people's families are visiting they're all inside, so I can be guaranteed that they're not going to stumble That's upon nice. Me yeah. in the garden.
Yep.
So I sneak out there from time to time, and I must say it's very invigorating. It's
really?
Yeah, it makes me feel human.
Let it all hang out, do you?
That's right, yeah.
How lovely.
It makes me feel alive.
Gorgeous. Well, it sounds like you've got a lot on your plate then.
Oh, quite the opposite. I don't have anything on my plate.
Actually, no, you've got nothing. Yeah. Shall we have a look at the newspaper and see what's going on? Every episode, we like to have a little flick through the newspaper and keep you up to date on current affairs. So I've got a copy here. Do you want to read the first article here?
Oh, yes, please. Okay. This is from the ARIA Awards.
It's been a very good year for Australia at the ARIAs this year, hasn't it?
What a good night for Australian music. We won nearly all the awards.
Yeah, we did very well.
People don't think of Australia as a music place, but we've got at least four or five musicians. Troy Sivan has taken out four ARIA Awards, including Best New Song.
Wow. People might not know what the ARIAs are, love. Do you want to explain to them what they are?
Well, they are awards voted by people in the music industry, for people in the music industry, and they're generally given out to people that I've never heard of before.
Right. And perhaps do you want to also explain what Troy Sivan is?
I don't know if I could. Troy Sivan is I'm lost for words. I don't know. I can't explain it.
It's sort of, kiddies, you know when you put your favourite jumper in the washing machine on hot and it shrinks down and becomes, you know, a smaller version of that jumper? It's sort of like if you did that to Sam Smith. What else is happening in the news?
Well, it's Black Friday.
Oh, Black Friday. What happens on that?
Well, there's two, actually. There's one that's online shopping. And they have discounts. And the other one is a deadly fire. I think the one I'm reading about here is the shopping.
How many people does it say died in this one?
They said there was 13 people.
That's the shopping one, yes.
The shopping one. Okay, yeah. Yeah, so that's on, so I might. Are you going to buy anything?
I don't really have need for anything. I haven't bought new clothes since 1980. What year was the Brisbane World Expo?
88.
It was 88. Yeah, 1988. I don't need anything new, love. What are you buying?
Oh, I might buy a blend.
Oh, yes. What are you going to blend?
I don't know. I just think they look nice on the bench. And also, when I was a little girl, my dad used to, if I was a bit naughty, he'd say, Maureen, come over here. I'll stick your hand in the blender.
Oh, yes.
Which was not as much of a threat as it is these days, because when I was a little girl, we didn't have electricity. So the blender was really just a couple of forks that he'd spin around in his hands.
Right.
You know, you might get a light graze from it. It wasn't really, I don't even think the police would get involved with something like that. But now if I stuck a child's hand in the blender, oh, God forbid. Oh, she's abusing children. Oh, she's an animal. She's a child cruelty person. Capital punishment. Oh, she's the one who gave that woman the mushrooms. Oh, they won't leave me alone. Anyway, so I'll pop down the online shops. Where is the online shops? How do I get there?
I actually have no idea. I think YouTube is at Southland in Cheltenham.
Might be near where the movies are there, where
it
haunts
could be,
wrap around. Yeah, I know.
Yeah, yep.
Okay, what else is happening?
Let's have a look. Oh, this is an interesting one. Here, slip, slop, slap. Remember the ad? The slip, slop, slap ads.
Oh, the sunscreen.
Yeah, they've been added to the Australian Sound Archives.
What, the ad?
Yes, the slip, slop, slap, you know. Slip on your sun hat, slop on some sunscreen, and slap on some sunglasses. I have issue with this, Maureen. I have to be honest. This is absolute bullshit. I have been trying to get this podcast into the National Sound Archives, as I think it is one of the most beautiful sounds that have ever been made.
Why wouldn't people want to listen to this for it's millennia.
Beautiful, you know.
You know, I never paid attention to that slip, slop, slap commercial, because I don't know if they'd play it to the kids anymore, but it was about putting sunscreen on. And I don't know, I just, the ads never really cut through to me. I just, maybe this is racist of me to say, but I will never trust medical advice from Sid the Seagull.
That's true, yes. A lot of kids won't remember these ads, but we were expected to listen to what the Seagull had to say to us. Actually, now that you say that, Maureen, we were talking about Troye Sivan and trying to explain what Troye Sivan is earlier. If you don't know what Troye Sivan is, Google Sid the Seagull and just imagine that you're looking at him through a hole in a public lab. And that's Troye Sivan.
You've saved yourself an extra Google search.
And now a word from one of our sponsors.
Hello, ladies. Having trouble keeping that waistline down? Is your girdle and gusset riding a little close for comfort? Maybe your hubby decided to take the secretary to Honkers while you look after his mother again. Perhaps you're becoming a bit of a fatty boomba, and no husband should have to put up with that. Try Barbara's Beauty Barbiturates. Our natural mix of marvellous modern herbs and spices, with a sprinkling of asbestos and just a touch of methamphetamine, will keep you off the sugary treats and make you worth your husband's gaze again. Barbara's Beauty Barbiturates. Because he's worth it.
May cause hair loss, limb loss, brain functionality loss, should not be used with any other medication, liquids, or at any other time by anyone. Short or prolonged use not recommended by medical experts. May cause plague if exposed to livestock. Sold as home insulation and should not be used for any other purpose. Do not touch with bare skin. Highly toxic, flammable, corrosive, and experimental. Human consumption may lead to becoming delusional drag queen who wears beehive wig and hosts Old Lady Bingo Nights.
Granny Bingo wireless.
And now it's time for our regular segment, Agony Grands, where you can write in with your little problem and we'll do our best to solve it. Now, we've got a very large pile here of letters from people and we've been printing them off, saving them up. Do you want to pick one out of the pile, Maureen?
Oh, sure. Hold on a minute. Okay. Ah. Oh, what lovely handwriting. It looks almost like Arial font. Dear Edith and Maureen, my daughter has hit her mid-teens and is really starting to act up. She won't let me in her room ever. She barely talks to me unless it's to swear at me. She insists on getting anything she can pierced, and last week she threw my dinner at the wall and said it was toxic. Her father and I did separate a few years ago, but we have been playing nice in front of the kids and sharing their time 50-50. I know you're both raised a number of children. Any advice would be gratefully appreciated. Worried mother from Yamba. Where in God's name is Yamba?
It's near the border of South Australia and Victoria, I believe.
Well, no wonder the girl's disturbed.
I have to be honest with you, Maureen. This one rings true to me.
Oh, really? We might be able to give some actual advice.
I'm a little bit emotional reading it, and I feel for you, worried mother. I've been going through some difficulties myself with my own daughter, and this isn't something I was going to talk about publicly, but I think I will, because it's for the greater good. My daughter is trans, worried mother. She's a trans lady.
Is that... Sorry to excuse my ignorance here. Is that the same as a trans woman? Trans lady, is that the same as a trans woman?
No, she's trans, but she's still got very nice manners. I won't have her in the house, though. And not because she's trans, you know, before you try and cancel me. Because she's boring, worried mother.
Fair enough.
Just my luck, you know, I always have the worst bloody luck. I gave birth to the one and only boring trans people. I quite like trans people, worried mother. I don't like the gays, I've made that very clear how I feel about that. But I don't mind the trans ones, they're very nice. So you can imagine how disappointed I was when my daughter came out and turns out to be the only boring trans woman in all of Australia.
It's heartbreaking for you.
It is heartbreaking, and it's difficult for me. It's a lot for me to deal with. You know, when she came out, she said to me, "Mum, I've got to tell you something. I'm a woman." I said, "Finally, something interesting I can tell my friends at Bridge. Did you know that she... Her name's Mona as well. She chose that name. Mona, what a boring name to Mona Vale. It's very difficult for me, Maureen. I drive around and I see all these other wonderful trans people cracking jokes with each other in the queue down at Deedpole waiting to change their name. You know, they're all having a good laugh. They're down at their little protests with their funny signs and things. You know, they're all having a little cackle down at Dangerfield. Why do I have to have the one and only trans daughter? She sits in my spare room wearing an hoodie that says Rick and Morty, punching darts all day long. You know, what am I, you know, how do I deal with that? So I understand where you're coming from, worried mother. I do. It's difficult. Yeah. And I sympathise with you. All you can really do is be there for them and let them know that you're going to help them as much as you can, worried mother. And at the end of the day, you love them, you know.
I don't know, I've always thought boring breeds boring. As Paul from The Drag Show says, we're all born naked and the rest is dwag. Mm-hmm. And my version of dwag is that I'm funny and charming and beautiful. And my parents made me charming and funny and beautiful. My other first reaction to this one, Edie, was I read in the letter, it says, she barely talks to me unless it's to swear at me. She won't let me in her room ever. My first reaction was to put a bloody lock on that door and don't let her out. Keep her in the room. So if she loves her room that much, then don't let her out to swear at you. Don't let her out to throw the dinner against the wall. Don't let her out to even learn the word toxic and what it means.
Keep her locked up?
Keep her locked in the
room. That's your advice.
Now that was my original thought. And then I remembered my intrinsic hatred for door lock people.
Ah, yes. Maureen cannot stand locksmiths.
I don't like them.
So much so that she can't remember the name locksmith. She calls them door lock people.
No, I just will not give them their proper name. Oh, hello, I've got an ABN. You know, hello, I've registered as a locksmith. I mean, it's every shopping strip. Everywhere you look, there's a Mr. Minute shop.
Mm.
Do you ever wonder, how do we need so many Mr. Minutes? Mm. How do we need so many places that will unlock doors? Mm. Why? Why do we have locks on our doors? Because there are criminals. And who do you think has the biggest interest in keeping criminals breaking into homes?
Locksmiths.
Locksmiths.
Right.
So there you go.
So your advice is don't put locks on doors.
Don't nobody lock the doors. We move towards a society where you just take what you want. It worked for our generation and it can work for yours.
Very interesting advice there, worried mother, and I hope that that helps with your problem. Shall I read the next one?
Yes.
Here we go. Dear Agony Grands, as senior Australians, I thought that your generational experience might be particularly helpful with my predicament. We live near a nursing home, and generally we quite like it. Our son goes and plays with the elderly people there, so it's like he's got hundreds of grandparents. That is so inconsiderate. Do you know, we don't like you sending your grandchildren around to nursing home people. I want you to all understand this. We're not a bloody daycare centre. You know what we did for Halloween, me and the girls? You know what we did?
What?
We wanted to watch something really scary, something really horrible, something really horrid. So we put on that TV show from the ABC. What's it called, Maureen?
Old People's Home for 4-year-olds.
It's so scary for us. That is horrible. We hate your children. We don't want them anywhere near us. We're not here to teach your kids life lessons. So you can rack off with your little grommets. It's not our fault that one of them slipped through to the keeper when you're trying to wipe it off her back. Anyway.
Calm down. Read the letter. We might be able to help.
Where did I get up to? Oh, right, yes. We're living next to a nursing home. Our child goes around and plays with there. There is one small problem, though. Our second story looks into the back quadrangle of the nursing home, and there's one older woman who likes to sunbake nude. Maureen, you were just talking about sunbaking nude. I would never want to body shame someone, especially someone as aggressive looking as her. I have seen the woman threaten to knife other residents for their vanilla slice at lunch break. Oh, Maureen. But it is giving our son nightmares.
Well, it might not be me.
I also have medical concerns for this woman. There's something particularly unsightly growing on the upper back of her right thigh that I think should be studied by medical professionals.
It's not growing up, it's dripping down. But anyway.
Any advice on how I could bring this issue up with the proper authorities? And that's from Greg O'Donnelly in Mordialloc. We're in Mordialloc. How funny is that? What's the chances of that?
Greg, my advice for you is to, you know, if I put myself into her shoes, you know, just to pretend for a minute that I might be her.
Yeah, which you're definitely not.
Be empathetic. I'm not. But if, you know, that's because empathy is very important. I would maybe take her a box of Cadbury Favourites or one of the boxes that they have in the milk bars of chocolate bars. You know, they've got sort of stacks of them in there of Fry's Turkish Delights. That might help cheer her up a little bit and make her stop doing it. She might also, maybe you could take her to the races or the pokies or something like that.
I didn't realise. I'm sorry. The back of the letter here has included a photograph. Oh, my goodness, look at that woman. Almost looks like Uluru if you squint your eyes
from that angle.
Here you go.
Show me.
Oh, and she's got a tattoo. What is that tattoo? Can you pass my spectacles? Where are they?
I think that looks authentic to me.
What does that tramp stamp say? It's right across her lower back. It's quite a few words. It says property of Huey from Huey's Cooking Adventures. Oh, dear. How tacky. How unsightly.
This is, you're bullying this woman now, Edith. Better leave it alone.
I'm sorry. I'm so sorry. Greg, as Maureen said, perhaps bring this woman around some chocolates and have a little bit of a chat with her. And stop perving on old women and taking photos of them, Greg. That's sick. That's sick, mate.
Stop touching yourself like that. That's awful. That you're peering over a fence.
Yeah, horrible. You're a father, Greg. You know,
that's disgusting. What do you have the kids around teaching them to do that?
Exactly, you sick bastard. If you'd like to write in to us at Granny Bingo, of course you can jump onto our socials at Granny Bingo on Instagram, or you can follow us on Facebook, Edith Vale and Maureen McGillicuddy on Facebook. Let's see, there's one more letter. Do you want to have a read of this one, love?
I'll read the next one. I'm quite enjoying this, and thank you for writing in, Greg. Hi, girls. It was so good to hear you back in the studio again last week.
Oh, thank you. That's very kind.
Thank you, yeah. I've listened to the episode 3 times.
Oh, that's very nice of you.
Yeah, some girlfriends and I were thinking of starting our own podcast. What are some important things we should keep in mind? That's from Lorna in Terrain.
Oh, that's very kind of you to write in and say those lovely things, Lorna. And now it's time for a word from one of our sponsors.
With the world on fire, no surprise, you're a bit stressed.
Well, Aussies have suffered the biggest hit to real incomes in the developed world as cost of living pressures eat up household budgets.
Your wages aren't going up anywhere near that much, and we've fallen well behind similar nations in lifting them up.
A real household disposable incomes for Australians fell 5% in the last financial year.
In a world of rising costs, where headlines echo financial woes, young Australians feel the pinch. 78% believe owning a home is a distant dream. Rent devouring 31% of income, it adds stress, and the big banks offer no reprieve.
Enter FML Bank. Not just a bank, but a cool ally for the young and the broke. We liberate 100% of your money, ensuring it aligns with your desires, not debt. How do we do it?
It's simple. We divert all calls and emails you receive via our Australian-based team of experts to vet them for yucky, boring debt recovery calls. Landlord won't take your call when water's mysteriously leaking through the downlights? Well, we won't take their call when they're chasing up the rent. Is Binge or Disney Plus about to be cut off? You can borrow our password. Is your credit card company calling to chase up months of overdue repayments? We'll tell them that we're the police and that you're missing, but need your credit card to stay active whilst we try and track you down. But actually, you're at Nespresso buying a coffee machine you can turn on with your phone. Are your parents calling to tell you to sort your life out, find a wife and buy a house like they did by the time they were your age? We'll tell them you're missing too. We're ready to face this doomed existence with you, step by step, day by day, court summons by court summons. We're the fee-free bank of the future. Bank fees? More like drugs. Download the FML Bank app today.
Of course, if you want to take an ad out with Granny Bingo, you can get in touch with us by fax. Now, last week we touched on the cost of living, and it really spoke with some people. We've had a few messages in, haven't we, love?
I almost feel like, you know, Lifeline or like Oprah. You know, yeah. People just need some help.
Yes, people have been reaching out and turning to us, as they often do in times of crisis. So we've called in an old friend of the pod, Beryl Beltbuckle, who's cooked us up a fabulous news segment, and it's for all of these young people who are struggling with the cost of living. It's called Beryl's Budget Tips. Take it away, please, Beryl.
Save your pennies with Beryl's Budget Tips.
Beryl Beltbuckle here, sharing advice on how to make ends meet these days. So here's another handy tip to help deal with the rising cost of living, or if your son emptied your bank account and then moved away. I've significantly decreased my water bill by cutting down on bathing. You can save a lot by simply skipping your morning shower. I've been skipping mine since February, and I can now afford the cream for my leg ulcer. As an added benefit, friends have stopped inviting me out. I think mostly because of the smell of the ulcer, and so there are added savings there. I've also limited flushing my toilet to once a week. If you keep the lid down, the smell shouldn't make you too light-headed. I'm in the bathroom now, and my eyes are barely watering. Probably time for a flush. It's quite full. No, it's not.
So anyway, I said to him, yeah, well, what am I meant to bring in here then if fixing my phone's not... Anyway, doesn't matter. How are you finding this week, Edie? You liking this episode better?
Yeah, I'm preferring this week to last week. I don't know, I was struggling a little bit with my mental health last week, which I've...
Oh, we're back on. Welcome back to the Granny Bingo
Hello.
Podcast.
Yeah. Hi, welcome back. I was just saying to Maureen, I was struggling a little bit last week, listeners, and I'm sorry if I wasn't
We're
up
at
to,
the
up,
end of the episode.
Up to so. Scratch. I just get a little bit triggered around Melbourne Cup time because
I know you do.
I had a bit of a bad experience a few years ago on my honeymoon.
Why? What happened on your honeymoon? I don't know this story either.
Well, it was my first honeymoon. Of course, I'm now married to a man called Pasco Vale, but my first husband, Don Vale, who sadly passed away on our honeymoon. We went on our honeymoon in Albury Wodonga. We were staying in this beautiful motel. Oh, you've never seen a motel as nice. And it had a spa bath. Well, the last night, Don had a few too many pineapple daiquiris and he fell asleep in the spa. Listeners, I don't know if any of you own a slow cooker, but essentially Don was corn silver sided, I believe.
Yeah. His head was steamed and the rest of him was sort of boiled.
Yeah, sort of like a bao bun.
Like if you overcook broccoli and it loses its colour.
That's right, yeah. That's what he looked like medically in the morning, yeah, which was very sad. But that was the last night of our honeymoon. The first night of our honeymoon was, of course, the first time that I became a woman, if you know what I mean. Back in the day, unlike in this modern Troy Sivan era, back then we used to wait until our honeymoon. And so I didn't really know what to expect, you know. We didn't talk about it back in those days. There was no agony grands to write into. And it turns out that Don was into some pretty weird sort of sexual stuff, you know.
He
had this fetish where he put, I'm embarrassed to say this, Maureen, but he put a saddle on me. And he rode me around the motel room like a pony, you know. He was like, come, pony, come.
How interesting.
Yeah. And I didn't really feel comfortable saying anything.
Why not?
Well, I was a little hoarse.
Right.
Anyway, we are at the end of the podcast. Maureen, where can people see us live?
Well, we'll have our shows at the Comedy Republic. In fact, we've actually put an extra one on sale for Christmas. We'll tell you about that in a tick. And you can also see us, oh, I can't remember. All I know is it's definitely not in the backyard over Greg's fence.
We have added an extra Granny Bingo Christmas special because the first one sold out. So if you were hoping to come on December 4th and you didn't buy any tickets, bad luck, you can't come.
Yep.
But because it's sold out so fast, we've added one more, and this is definitely your last chance to see Nana live before Christmas, and possibly ever, because I could drop dead at any moment. That's on December 18th at 7:30 p.m. and that's at the Comedy Republic as well. So you know, grab a ticket, bring your family along and come and say hello to Nan. And I wouldn't mind if you brought us a little present or something as well. It would only be decent, really.
That's right. I like Cadbury favourites and I love Fry's Turkish Delight. That's my favourite for Christmas. So, you know, you don't have to bring anything for us. But, you know, it's also a wonderful opportunity for team bonding. You can bring the team along to Granny Bingo and we'll rip shreds off you in front of all of your colleagues.
Make sure you tune into the podcast next week. Of course, I'll be teaching you how to build a pipe bomb and where to send it.
And I'll teach you how to set up your Wi-Fi so that your curtains don't fade.
And I'll be sharing some of my exotic animal recipes. Did anyone say giraffe lasagna? But until then, kiddies, remember, it doesn't matter what size you are, Nana still loves you.
This day and age, yeah, sure, I agree. Me too.
You have
Bye.
To. Ta-ta! It's not our fault that one of them slipped through to the keeper when you're trying to wipe it off her back. Anyway.
Where did that come from?
Sorry, I don't know where that came from. I'm just trying to make Eden as horrible as possible.
I don't like children. All right. No. Let's see. What did I get up to?